of God, thank you. What's it going to be at 57? And which one of those me's am I supposed to trust? Which one of those me's am I supposed to let define me? It's unstable. Not only do we have a world that's trying to squeeze us into its mold, we actually have an enemy, a real one. It says, the prince of the power of the air. By the way, Jesus, in from like John 12 through 14 or 15, he says this three times about the devil, right? That he's the prince of the air. If you're the prince, if you're the highest ranking official of the air and all who breathe it, you're pretty powerful, okay? Pretty powerful. And that person is trying to keep us satisfied and keep us blind, right? And there's actually two problems, right? Two ditches, if you will. One is that we overestimate the devil. The other is that we underestimate the devil, right? Just have a realistic view of the devil, that he is your enemy and he's trying to screw your life up, okay? So we have the world, we have the devil. Third thing we see is that we have our own flesh, right? Martin Luther says this, a man without the Spirit of God does not do evil against his will, under pressure as though he were taken by the scruff of the neck and dragged into it like a thief or a footpad being dragged off against his will to punishment. But he does it spontaneously and voluntarily. So even if it weren't for the world squeezing us into its mold or the enemy pulling us this way, the reason those two things are so dangerous, the world and the devil, is because they give us what we want, what our flesh actually desires. We are born with a sin nature. Anybody who doesn't believe in this doctrine of original sin doesn't have kids. Right? You see this. You know, people come over, grandma, oh, just an angel, as Vodi Bachman says. No, that's a viper in a diaper. Right? It's been said that God created them so small so they wouldn't kill us, and so cute so we wouldn't. Yeah, you get that. But we know that we have that in us, right? That it's not just the devil, it's not just the world. We have this desire deep in our hearts of wanting to pursue those things. And if you just understood, this is off notes, if you just understood those three things, that there is a world trying to screw your friends up, that there's a devil who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy, and that their flesh wants to ruin their own life, wouldn't that be reason enough for us to share the gospel with them? Just a thought. This is the battle that we find ourselves in against those three things, right? Jonathan's been referring to this book, The Dynamics of the Spiritual Life. They quote John Owen saying, the vigor and power of spiritual life is dependent on the mortification of sin. I'll be honest, I didn't know much about what the mortification of sin was. So I spent much of my week reading what different people thought about it, coming up with my own thoughts based on their thoughts. Right, but mortification, simple definition that we'll go with, is the original meaning is found in Christianity, meaning putting your sin to death, right? And that's taken from probably the King James Version of Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you will die, but if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortification. This happens, by the way, simultaneously with the renewing of your mind. They're not two separate things. Happen at the same time, right? So as we're growing in our knowledge and affection for Jesus, while we're changing the way we think, we are also crushing and killing certain sins in our lives, right? Taking sin very seriously. John Owen says, a church with a weak understanding of sin will thus inevitably be a church in which the flesh is alive and spiritual vitality is dampened. May that not be true of us. May we be strong in our understanding of what sin is. So what is sin? Just some examples. Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. So I just want you to pause and think. I'm going to ask you to do this a couple of times. Is there something on this list that you would say, I need to put off? I need to crush. I need to kill. I need to get rid of this out of my life, right? Any kind of sex outside of marriage. Just thinking about it, watching it, looking at it, or actually having it. Is there any of that that you need to put off? We live in a very, very sexual society. Just on Friday, I met with a guy who's got a student at a very nearby university. And he is facing expulsion, loss of a scholarship, and potential jail time because of exchanging pictures through his phone. He's not a bad kid. It's the world he lives in, right? It's the world your kids are going to grow up in. So we better be serious in teaching them how to mortify sins, how to crush it, how to kill it. Impurity, any shadiness going on at work, any corrupt thoughts. How about passions that lead you astray? We are not, as followers of Jesus, to be led by our stomachs. We're to be led by the King of Kings. Evil desires. Covetousness. Do you realize that covetousness is an accusation against God? What we're saying is, you haven't given me enough. You don't know what you're doing. You're not being helpful here. I know what's good for me. What is that? That's idolatry because you've made yourself God. Anytime you start thinking, God, you haven't given me what I deserve, you are exactly right. He has not given you what you deserve, and you should say thank you. When you catch a whiff, listen, when you catch a whiff of any of these things, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, when you catch a whiff of that, you've got to crush it. You've got to kill it because sin is a beast. I read this week, just, you know, how you jump on the internet and one thing leads to another. I read of this woman who loved big cats, lions, right? And she worked at this lion refuge. True story. For some reason, she went in the enclosure. I've seen We Bought a Zoo. I know what to call it. So she went inside this enclosure, and the lion mauled her to death. The owner doesn't know why she went in there. She just died. Another footnote. That's the main point, but my mind's racing. I watched the video, and the dad said, I actually expected this call. But she loved it, so I just let her chase after what she loved. Come on, Dad. That's not the point. That isn't the point. But you wrestle with that. Maybe you should be needing to take some corrective action with your children and not just always give them what they want, right? You need to teach them at a young age that they are not the ones who should be determining what they do in life. But the Lord should be guiding them in that. Another conversation. Lions are apex predators. It's all they know. You can't train it out of them. And it's the same way with sin. Don't dabble. Don't mess around. Do not take lightly sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, there is a lot more at stake than your comfort zone. Romans 6:6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen? Come on. There's more amens than in worship. Sin is no longer your master. Salvation demands that. That not only have you been set free from the penalty of sin, you've been set free from its power. You are no longer under the influence of this tyrannical dictator called sin. You don't have to be. Let's finish Colossians 3 and we'll wrap up. Verse 7, in these you too once walked. All those things we've been talking about so far. When you were living in them, but now you must put them all away, okay? So if the Lord didn't bring something to mind in verse 5 that you need to put off, maybe there's something here in this list. I want you to be serious about this. This is going to be how we wrap up. Is there something here on this list that you need to put off? Do you need to put off anger, wrath, malice, which is just this desire to do evil things, slander, okay, and just putting down people to make yourselves feel better, obscene talk that's deeper than cussing. Do not lie, not even white lies. I had a guy tell me this week that his prayer was that the Lord would help him stop telling white lies, just the little ones. What a great prayer. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, renewed in the mind, after the image of its creator. And who was the best picture, the best image of our creator? Jesus. Jesus. We just looked at Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. Just want to be like Jesus. So we come up to this intersection in life and we're like, okay, we got a decision to make. This is what I used to do. We're going to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, you don't live there anymore. Go this way. This is the way that leads to life. I do believe that this list and what we talked about before, I believe God wants all of us to put off all of those. There's no exemptions, no exceptions. But with a little age, I do think that the Lord has showed that there are morally neutral things that also deter us from our pursuit of holiness, right? Morally neutral things. I think it's why Paul in Hebrews chapter 12 says to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, right? There's two different things. Deal with the sin, and then what are these heavy weights? What are the things that are holding you back? Maybe, again, morally neutral. We say to ourselves, you know, there's nothing wrong with this. I can't find a Bible verse for that. Which is really silly when you think about it, more immature than just silly. Because if something is affecting you negatively in your pursuit of the Lord, weighing you down, do you really need a verse to prove to you that you need to put it off? In a letter that John Wesley's mom wrote him before he went off to university, says this, take this rule, whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes off your relish of spiritual things. In short, whatever increases the strength and authority of your body over your mind, that thing is sin to you, however innocent it may be in itself. I'm not talking about legalism here because it's going to be different for all of us. Are there certain things that you eat or drink that retard your process towards sanctification? Could be small things. Could be when I don't get up early or when I don't start my day in the Word, I'm a grouch, and it ruins the rest of my day in pursuit of God. And it weakens my opportunity to be used by God in the renewal of all things. For some, it's social media. We've talked about that. Are there certain things, sins or heavy weights, that you need to lay aside? My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to you today. Pick one. Wesley taught that the result of sanctification, so the result of sanctification is holiness that is expressed by love for God and neighbor. So it's not just holiness to its end, but that holiness produces a greater love for God and neighbor. That's who we are. We're holy creatures. We are temples of the Most High God. We are saints. And when we live this way, when we are sanctified, the world wins. The renewal of all things take place, right? And we win. See how this is much more than just a one-time prayer? This is an eternal pursuit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, laser focused on holiness. As the band comes up, I'm going to read this verse and then we'll just leave it up there for a second. Here's what the challenge is today. What is one thing that you could lay down? What is one thing out of all those different things that we've shown on the screen, or where we started with pride, jealousy, self-centeredness, anger? What is one thing today that you would say, okay, Lord, I hear you. I'm willing to lay that down. I'm willing to defer to your lordship. And then what is one thing out of this passage that you would say, I need to pick this up. I need to put this on. This is who I really am. This is who God created in me. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. That's who you are. You're holy and beloved. You're chosen by him. So as a result of that, put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Lord, I need it. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Is there somebody today you're withholding forgiveness from? Maybe that's where you stop. You don't read past that. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which you were called in one body. Be thankful. Do you have a grateful heart? There's a lot for believers to be grateful for. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. It can't dwell in you if you haven't read it. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Through him. Bow your heads. We have three enemies, right? We've got the world trying to squeeze us into its mold. We've got the devil who is doing everything he can, using all of those spiritual army members that he has to mess up your life. And you've got this flesh that wants much of what they want to offer you. But if you go back to that passage in Ephesians where it talks about the world, the devil, and the flesh, it ends this way. But God... That's the forces that you have. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved. Father, I don't want to be naive today and assume that everybody in here has submitted to your lordship. Not everybody has been saved by grace. Father, today I just pray that you would move in their hearts, move in their spirits, that they would go beyond receiving your forgiveness. They would make you Lord. Maybe there's some in here who prayed a prayer a long time ago, and they're part of that 4%. No, excuse me, they're part of the 96% whose lives have not been transformed one iota. Lord, I just pray that you would reach down and show them there's so much more that you want for them. You want their life. You want their life to be transformed, and then you want to use them. Father, would you set us free from the sin that easily entraps us, from that weight that holds us back? Lord, today, set us free. Set every believer in here free from at least one thing as we walk out of here. Father, help us to put on those attributes that look like your Son, so that when we walk around, other people see you living through us and they're drawn magnetically to you, and that you'd get all the credit and glory for that in Jesus' name.